I started watching this show about the that time way back when. Remember that time? That time when people were like, hold up. Yeah, the Earth doesn't move. Everything in the universe moves around the Earth, and that's why we see things the way we see them. And then a couple people were like, but hold on. When you look at the sky, you can observe these things that sort of imply that the sun actually doesn't move around us. Maybe we revolve around the sun. It's a little thing called heliocentrism. Shout out scientific progress and ingenuity. But what is often like underplayed in the history books, I feel like, and you know, not just this, but everything. Homies were categorically slaughtered and tortured when they were talking about this idea. The church was like, no, 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 no. Actually, the heavens are perfect and they're one thing and the earth is at the bottom of the barrel and that's why everything falls down and you should be falling down before God in fear because he is going to send you to heaven or hell, depending on how well you listen to me, this guy in robes with a bad haircut. We killed people over an idea that turned out to be the truth. A radical idea that people died for, they hid away for, they gave up their lives for. They were killed because it threatened the status quo. It threatened control, perceived control. It threatened the order. And again, now young children know this fact that the Earth and the planets and everything else revolves around our sun, and there's millions and countless of other suns with other things revolving around them, and that's just the way it is. Shrug our shoulders, move on with our day, worry about what we have to do next. But people were slaughtered over this idea. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? And so in the nature of radical ideas, I just wanted to share another radical idea that's maybe not so radical if you really look around. There's some things happening in the world right now. Things happening at home and abroad that maybe aren't so savory. I know people who have said they don't want to bring kids into a world like this, and I understand that. People are dying in droves. We have mass weapons. The earth is, well, kind of sick. Not just us, but other things. And, you know, despite all that, I have this overwhelming sense of certainty that everything is okay. Everything is okay. And I would go further to say, as it should be. The way things are in 2025 is the way it should be. Exciting, even. Perhaps it's exciting. Perhaps it's not hopeless and despair-worthy. Perhaps it's exciting because when there is such aggravated resistance to something, perhaps it means we are on the cusp of a new radical idea being accepted and lived out by everyone. Everything is okay. We are not the center of the universe, and that was okay. The people can decide how they are governed, and that is okay. I can let love lead my life, and that is okay. Money is not the only thing that I want to come home to and call honey, the only thing that I want to collect and hoard for myself and my own desires. And that is okay. The things I endeavor to do in this life do not have to step me up some social ladder, some corporate chain, some hierarchy of worth. Perhaps we are in a time when the dancing through one's own heart and one's own joys and wonders is the fullest and truest way to live. This past month has brought so many things, so many changes, so many highs and lows, beauties and sorrows, and between it all, I am compelled to sit here right now and talk about it. Things are beautiful and people are beautiful, and we have the choice to see the world this way or not. If you say no, I say, okay, I'm sorry you don't get to see it that way. But it's always there, it's always waiting. What matters the most is always within reach. It must be. It must be. Well, who's to say what matters the most? I don't know. I just had a lovely conversation with a dear friend. And this is someone I've known for quite a while. They've seen me grow up. I've seen them grow up. We grow up and away, out on our own paths. And this friend, I always knew he has such a deep, deep kindness and love for others and for the world. But the situation I met him in had him in a bit more of a nihilism bag. It's much easier to point out what's wrong with the world than what's good with it. Much easier. By a landslide. And if it wasn't that way, we probably wouldn't complain all the time. We might not use complaining as the foundation of our social cohesion. Not that it's always that way, but you know what I'm talking about. And this friend, he was in this idea that, you know, his life didn't really need to amount to much. And we should make decisions based off the social safety nets presented to us. Good benefits here, good retirement over there. I hate this job, but I'll bear with it because. Because that's what I'm expected to do. Why am I expected to do that? Well, I'd rather not think about that right now. I'd just rather do what I have to do. Everything is okay. Things are much simpler than they appear. Well, it's got a lot going on. We live in a world that convinces itself it's rational and logical, but really there's nothing rational and logical about it. We do some things rationally and logically, sure. But those moments that remind you that I am alive and whole and full and deserving, well, there's nothing logical about that. Because you're not. Because the Earth is no longer the center of the universe. You are no longer the center of the universe. You are small and insignificant. However, what if you're not at the same time? What if meeting a person can reignite a fire in your belly, in your chest that has been burning all along, waiting for that little puff of oxygen, waiting for that little twig, that little piece of firewood you're gonna throw on and let it grow and burn into what it has always meant to be. The tree does not stop growing because it doesn't feel like doing it anymore. It grows on and on through disease, through drought, through scorched earth, through chips and breakings and fallings. It continues. It doesn't always make it, but it tries anyway, because that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to try. The whale doesn't stop being the largest creature because it says, well, I'm kind of sick of being so much bigger than everything else. I'm gonna just kind of stop growing here. No, it keeps growing, it keeps going, it keeps sleeping straight up and down instead of the long ways. How does it do that? I don't know how it does that. You know, these whales that they like are up and down like sticks in the water vertically. What? How do they do that? They gotta learn too. The little ones, they don't know how to sleep standing up. Standing up? Do you stand in water? Can you stand in water? I don't know. These are the questions. Let me ask Jesus. He would say, yep. Or maybe I should ask Penn and Teller. Everything is okay. Everything is great, maybe. Because in the same way that people died so that we could know that the sun is what we orbit around, maybe people are dying now so that we can know that our hearts are what we orbit around. And we can't shut that off. And if we try to, well, that's just one more person that we every day lie to ourselves. We are capable of fooling ourselves, tricking ourselves, postponing ourselves, even saying ourselves. What does that mean? As if the self is something we possess and something that we have rather than something that we are. What is the difference between being something and possessing something? You pay attention. You give your attention. What if you are attention? Listen to your consciousness. Maybe you are your consciousness. And then when you don't listen to your consciousness, you are feeling worse because you are neglecting the thing that you are feeling. I don't know. But this friend, what happened? What changed? He met someone. He met someone and he felt something. That's it. Long life of despair, of taking the easy road, of selling yourself short, of not letting yourself grow and be and feel fully. All it takes sometimes is meeting someone and feeling something. And that is the first domino to destroy the massive cathedral of lies and distractions and fences that you've gotten used to living between and around and for. And how beautiful is that? That you know, the problems we see in the world, perhaps there is no solution to them. Well, I would argue there is no solution to them in the traditional sense, in the way that we talk about things, the way that we discuss civics and logistics and economies and healthcare. There is no solution for all of it, simply not. But the solution is that we live around the true orbit of our lives. We stop pretending as if this body, this version of us, is the center of the universe onto which everything falls. Perhaps we are revolving around our own sun. And in fact, we are revolving around our own suns. We have to be, because that is beautiful. That is the most beautiful. Everything in nature is beautiful. Most of the time. I mean, I'm not a fan of the gory details in some of those documentaries, but macro level, well, on a micro level too, I'll stick with it. Everything is beautiful. It's just a matter of where you're standing. The bear isn't so beautiful when its jaws are wrapped around your neck. But we are in a time still, just like back then, back with the church, back persecuting the scholars who dared to say that the earth revolved around the sun, while there are still those people out there telling us what revolves around us and what we must revolve around. But the truth is, this cannot be answered by someone for someone else. It can only be answered by you and you only. Not me, not them, not that hat, not that color, not that person, not that job, career, field, whatever. Whatever. But we need all of them. We need the mountaineer and the lab coat. We need them to paint their own picture of the world so that all together we can have this beautiful tapestry. Love, man. Love leads the way. Yeah, we always, we always find a reason to turn it down or to deny ourselves of it or to deny others of our love. Because it's hard to do, it's hard. It's hard to say that the world works differently than what is accepted. But if it wasn't done, then we would still be in those dark ages of murdering each other out in the streets over an idea. An idea. Things that pierce through generations, through centuries, through millennia. Ideas. And still they can be choked out, and still we can forget them, and still they are there waiting to return. It's like very few things that anyone says now is like new. It's like, no, all these new morning routine health things, maybe love first, love conquers all. None of these things are new. That's the joke. That's the funny part of it all. It's not new to humans, to our understanding, to our library of wisdom and information. It's not new. Old. Whether you get those teachings from literature or from scriptures or from your family or from prophets or from that TikTok or whatever, all of this wisdom that's circulating, it's not new, it's not cutting edge, it is ancient, it is remembrance, it is allowance, it is the destruction of the dams we've put on the hearts of our, on the rivers of our hearts. Damn it. Damn it. That's funny. We say damn it in frustration. Maybe every time we say that, that's another little dam we've constructed inside of our being. One other thing preventing us from the fullness of being a living, loving human. And some people disagree. Some people say, well, love doesn't matter. That doesn't feed you or pay the bills or this and that. Well, sure. Unless it does. So this friend, I've been talking to him, and I talked to him a month or so ago, and God, he just sounds like a whole different person. He has this renewed sense of hope in his voice, this this critical lens on himself and the way he's been acting and the things he's been avoiding and suppressing and the darkness that he deals with, all of it is bubbling up and wanting to be released. Because why? Because he met someone and he felt something. And whatever he wants with this person, whatever he gets, whatever he has, at the very least, he has felt something new, learned something, remembered something about himself. He's taught me something in the brief moments of speaking to him. And here I am now talking about it, this beautiful momentum of an idea, of a feeling. It wants to be mirrored, to be echoed, to be reverberated. Ooh, shit's got resonance, you know what I'm saying? The stories we tell, the music we enjoy, the songs, the poems, the films, TV, all of it. It's all telling stories of ideas with resonance. And God damn it, every freaking thing has a love story in it. Every single thing. In some way, it always comes down to love, whether it's romantic or familial or societal or whatever. It's like, we are clawing at this want to construct our lives around this force that is so uplifting and invigorating and inspiring and in intuitive and creative and... Oh, and yet we don't. Yet we let our little thinking machines say, no, 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 suppress that urge for the sake of this temporary monetary gain, this temporary logistical advantage, which will mean absolutely nothing once I'm dead and gone. This thing that I want that will cause no benefit for anyone else, no reverberation of inspiration or ideas or passion. Nothing spread to people around me. Nothing passed down to generations. Why don't we live like that? People used to construct monuments and cathedrals that took decades, hundreds of years to build. To start a project knowing you will never see its end, but purely for the sake of that person who one day might. And for the memory of what it took to get there. So freaking cool, man. And it's crazy. It's absolutely bonkers to do that in this world now. I mean, everything is so quick. The moment something rears its head of, hey, maybe we're interested in each other. So you want to grab it, you want to take it, you want to define it, you want to label it, you want to fold it into your life and have it and keep it forever and make it yours. Sorry, babe. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. And it shouldn't be how it works. Because imagine if you were that thing that was getting folded and possessed and kept and trapped into someone else's life or view of the world or whatever. We're not meant to possess things or people. Sure, it helps with like living and breathing and all that. But possessing people? What? We all kind of agree that's not good. But we don't realize that in other subtle ways you can possess people with the ideas that you feed to them, the attention that you demand from them. We are still possessed. Slavery is not a thing of the past. It is a constant shadow that must have a light shone on it. You cannot control my body, but I will happily give you my mind and my dreams for you to manipulate and take and twist and contort until you've found the image that you want for the world. Well, what about me? What about us? What about this person that I love and adore? What about their dreams? Why can't they have their dreams come to fruition? What makes you better than them? What makes that life better than this one? Seriously, I'm waiting for somebody to answer that question. The church can't. The state can't. My family can't. Or can we? Maybe it's way simpler than we think. Man, this past month, holy moly. Well, my friend, he's seeing someone now, and that's new and exciting. And I've met people that have touched my heart in ways that I have never imagined or thought possible. And I also eulogized my father and started a new job, a new lifestyle. And trying to let go of old ones. And other people I know have been engaged to be married, people I've known my whole life and love dearly. They are getting married now. And other people have ended relationships, and some are staying in ones that maybe have run their course and maybe they know it. And it is so the you know, they say you're supposed to get older and wiser. But the older I get, the more I feel like, how do I feel? We all do things for and because of love without calling it that, and it's confusing. It's confusing us. It's confusing me. And it's confusing because, well, that's all I... Is it love or is it what is it? Is it something else? That word, it means many different things to many different people. It's that ache in my chest, the arms in the ethereal arms in my body reaching towards a place or a person, wanting to squeeze, wanting to uplift. I don't know. The love that is recognition in someone else's eyes, recognition of a soul, of a person that sees the world the way you do and aches for it the way you do and wants for it the way you do, and that love of we're in this together kind of love. You and I, we see a world that's hurting, and we see eyes that hurt in the mirror, and we see how simple it can be for people to have less of that. And so we ache out of that love of wanting fullness, brightness for things, for people. And why can't we have it? Well, the simplest answer is because enough people have been deprived of enough love over enough time where they want to deprive others of it instead of giving them more of it. Is it really that simple? Are we really bombing and killing and starving people because we didn't get the love that we deserve as a person from who we deserved it from? Is it really that simple? It's a radical idea. Radical idea now. Everything is okay. Everything is okay. Everything is as it's meant to be. Because if it wasn't, then who says? Who says it isn't? You know, I hear people say, this shouldn't be happening in the year 2025. Well, why not? Why not? Especially when you consider that it's not the year 2025. When you factor in the actual amount of years that humans have been, quote unquote, civilized, it's like way more. So to say this shouldn't be happening in 2025, it's like try like 12,025. What is it? When did it start? When we started farming and hanging out and be like, fist bump, bro, like let's try to survive together. Like, was that the beginning? Because if that was the beginning, then buddy, we are long overdue. Long overdue. 2025. It's like, mofos will be like, nah, there's no God, there's no religion, religion doesn't rule the world. But it's like, what year are you saying right now? What year are you saying? 2025 years since Jesus was here. That's how we mark the world calendar. across the globe. Even people who don't rock with Jesus like that are like, yeah, it's 2025. What does that mean? Imagine if we made it mean what it could mean, which is, yeah, we set our calendar on this dude, God, man, whatever you say, that's the way it is. It's been 2025 years since Jesus. What was Jesus about? Remind me? Remind me. If you don't know, I'll remind you. Love thy neighbor. What's the golden rule that people say, treat others as you want to be treated? Yeah, love thy neighbor as thyself. He who has not sinned, cast the first stone. If you get slapped in the face by someone, turn the other cheek and say, slap this one too. Respond to your enemy. Love thine enemy. Have no enemies. Respond to your enemies with love. Respond. Keep, you know, treat the poor. Uplift the poor. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Well, meanwhile, the whole world is like, fear this. Hate that. You're different than this person for this reason. And yet here we are saying it's 2025. It's just silly, you know? It's silly. Like, what's... Right back to the heliocentrism story. That really happened, like, okay? That was a real thing. Can you put yourself in the mindset, right, of, like, you are a young fella who found a book, and the book said... had a little picture drawn of our solar system, as we know it now. That's the picture. By looking at that picture at that time, and someone finding out, you could literally have your fingernails cut off, eyes burned, and you could be burned at the stake in front of the town you live in for looking at that photo. That was real. That is real. And there are parts of this world in which that is child's play compared to the tyranny and oppression that people face now. In North Korea, they hold elections. They hold elections. And yeah, you have to vote. They have like 100% voter turnout. And 100% of the votes are for the only person that you can vote for. So they say that this person won by popular vote. And it's like, imagine being in the situation that you're in, which presumably you're American, and to be told you must go out and vote. And when you go out and vote, there's only one option. And if you don't vote, you will be investigated by secret police, perhaps visited, perhaps arrested. Imagine that. That's something out of a crazy book, right? No, it's really happening on this same planet that we're on right now. And so I can't help but wonder, it's like, what is our heliocentrism theory right now? What is it? Because we seem to live in this... All right, I haven't even played the piano, which is how you know I'm getting heated, bro. What is our version of this now? What is the thing that is so glaringly obvious, wanting to be known, wanting to be felt, wanting to reverberate through the world that we are actively suppressing, denying, being complacent to? What is it? What is it? Is it still this lingering remnants of a dogmatic, power-hungry organization that tried to corner the market on God and make everyone live the way they want? It isn't. Doesn't seem like it's just that, because it's like even the people who have renounced that are still living under these spells, literal magic spells, literal illusion magic. Like people, we talk about magic, we got D&D is pretty popular now, but it's like mofos are casting spells all day, every day. It's like beep boop, spell, dispel illusion, freeze. Sticky mud. It's like we're playing Go Tell Monkey, throwing out bubble gum and sledgehammers and cement and all these things, and we're all just basking in it. Like, please throw me the ball, throw it to me. Please let me get a Go Tell Monkey. Let me get a delivery mail. Let me get one of those, please. Like, we're just waiting for handouts. But then in reality, it's like, bro, you got it all in you. You have every ingredient already. You have every single ingredient needed. You have the love, the radiance, the vibrance, the autonomy, the ideas, the intellect. You have have it. Don't let them tell you you don't have it. You have it. I don't know. And then I'm sitting here thinking, like, what am I even talking about? What did I even come here for? I came here to tell you about my friend and love and how you meet someone, you feel something, right? That's kind of like this summary of our lives, right? Put that on my gravestone. Put that on my gravestone. He met some people. He felt some things. Because that's what we do. So how many of our habits and routines and philosophies are conducive to that understanding? That we must meet people and we must feel things. The thinking can help you along the way, but come on, bro. Come on, bro. Tell me honestly. Do you think enough? Maybe you should be doing more thinking. What do you think? Do you think that in this world, in this day and age of like medication and suicide and anxiety and sadness and existential dread and not wanting to have children, not wanting to bring kids into a world like this, what does that mean? You know, does it mean the world inherently bad, or maybe our spiritual shoulder is dislocated and we're running around trying to play freaking baseball and we're like, yo, this sport sucks. And then someone's like, hey, did you ever think that your shoulder is dislocated? You're like, no, it's not. Pain is the natural state of things. And they're like, well, dude, like you're literally like disfigured. Like I can see from here, your shoulders are out of whack. And it's like, what are you talking about, bro? And it's like, here, look, let me just, you know? And then you're like, oh my God, baseball is kind of fun. Like, imagine, is that possible? I sure hope so. Cause my shoulder's been bent out of whack for like hella long. And now I'm here talking whatever, but I'm really proud of my friend and he really inspired me because it's like he's always been one of those people who puts these things at the back of the line, like get to the back, love, vulnerability, feelings, emotions, devotion, you know, simpiness, all these things, get to the back. I'm trying to get my pension, bro. Don't try to mess my plan. And now he's like, man, I really just want to like go places with this girl and I want to see things with her and I want to like experience with her and I want to have fun and I want to like quit my job. What? You want to quit your job, bro? What happened to 25 years? Meanwhile, I'm like fist pumping, like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Like you met someone, you felt something and now the dominoes are like, let's. Come on, let's stop pretending. Let's stop pretending. Like, what's going on? What do you want? What do you want? What moves you? What makes you feel? What makes you feel magnificent, radiant, vibrant, impactful, vast? What makes you feel? And if you haven't found it, you've got some looking to do. If you have found it, Where did you put it? What shelf did you put it on? What closet did you tuck it into? Do you label your boxes? Because that'll really help you find it. But if not, then you're in for a search. And that's okay because searching is kind of the whole gig. It's kind of the whole thing that we're doing here, right? You know, everything is a search. We're searching. We send the freaking camera robots out in space. Trying to find something. What are we trying to find? Other life. What? So that other life can replace God and tell us how to live this one on earth? They'll be like, bro, what do you got to figure out yourself? And then we'll be like, oh, we got to search further. We got to go further and search and search and search. We're just trying to have someone tell us what to do because I don't know how to make decisions for myself because it's too hard because the world I live in isn't compatible with the feelings I feel inside my body. I feel so... You can't have divinity without God. You can find it in your own way. You can shape it. You can build the story yourself because that's what you are. You are a storyteller. Your life is a story. Everything you do, decision you make, it is a story that augments that those stories of others and weaves more for yourself. It adds new characters and new dimensions and new lessons. Everything we consume, everything we spend all day consuming There's stories, brief ones at that. Little stories, little TikToks, little videos. Oh God, get my ass off YouTube so I can start living my life. But if the story is compelling enough, we'll stay there for it. It's like, what is it? What is our heliocentrism? What is the idea today that is going to be so obvious tomorrow? Going to be so freaking taken for granted by the next generation? What is that idea? Everything is okay. The only thing that matters is your heart and the hearts of those around you. What if that were true? What if the songs that turn millions of hearts and make millions and billions of dollars, what if they were onto something actually right? That would be crazy. What if we stopped consuming our hearts in private and let them shine to the world? What if we did that? What would happen? What would be different? I don't know. Seems like a lot because, goddamn, in my life, I've felt the same the whole time. You know, there's that illusion of like sameness, but God, I'm such a different person. Such a different person. And the only thing is it's like that song, yeah, listen to your heart when it's calling. I don't know how to play that. When it's calling for you, listen to your heart. You know, it's good. And then copy and paste every other song that uses the word heart.
The heart is just an anatomical organ that pumps blood.
Get off it, dude. Get off it. That's another idea you've been fed. The lack of divinity and sacredness of things, the things in our bodies, the feelings, the movements, the cracks, the churnings, the gurgles, all those things are real. Your body isn't just like it's crazy. To myself, like when I eat food, right? It stops at my mouth. Like once I'm done chewing and swallowing, it's now gone into another dimension. That's how I treat it. And I'm like, oh my God, these Cheez-Its are so good. And oh, I can mix them with, I can have chocolate and Cheez-Its and sweet and salty at the same time. Oh my God, it's so good. Meanwhile, it's actually landing in a pit in my body and metabolizing into the energy that I have going forward. It's like the things we do are like real and like impactful and heavy. And that goes with the words we say. If the food I put in my mouth and goes into my belly affects my body, then maybe the vibrations I make with my throat that go into people's ears do something to them too. Maybe, just maybe, right? Yet, now it feels like our voices don't matter because we're all just screaming them at screens. Look at me right now. I'm watching these little audio waves go up and down as I scream, and then I get soft, and then they get smaller and smaller. So my voice is being digitized as I speak. Nobody's here listening to me, just me and my doggies. I'm enjoying the piano. But what's cool about the technology is like, you know, you can do this cool stuff, but like you miss out on the watching it transmute people live. Like you can literally say things and change someone's heart. And you speak poetry, music, it speaks past your brain into your heart. And whether you call it that or not, that's what's happening. That's why you're like, oh, this is a fun experience. I like music. Why do you like music?
Well, because I just love the sound structure and the lyrics and the way they write it. It's so intellectually pleasing to me. It's like, no, bro, it's like it's tickling your heart. Okay.
And that's just what it is. It's like, why don't we live from the heart? Why do we keep it for like a little indulgence after we've let the brain like stomp around on everything, you know? Why do we do that? My friend, his voice, he's always had this like, that's what it is, that's the way it is, whatever, that's what it is. And today, he sounded excited. He had these plans for trips and wanted to see things and go places and live. And I'm like, wow, I talked to you a month ago. Where was this? It's been here all along. And maybe that's why I'm so pleased right now, is because it's like the thing that was in there is now out here too. And we all get to see it. It's not just in there anymore. It's out here for all of us. And it makes it okay for me. It makes it okay for you and them and all of us. It has to be okay. It has to be okay. Everything is okay. Piano too. It's interesting. I don't know how to play piano. I just kind of like wing it. Just tap different things in different sequences. Let my body kind of tell me where to go, you know? Don't know. I don't know what notes I just pressed. I could like think about it and figure it out, but it's like there's this like dual like intuitive. It's kind of cool. But anyways, first time I played piano in public and in a way that like I felt cool about was the day I found out my dad had terminal cancer and he was gonna die within days to weeks, and I was already committed to go on a plane to another country. So there I am in the Logan International Airport terminal, and I get through security and I see this big old shiny black piano. Moments in my life where I'm like in a setting where I'm like emotionally charged and I see a piano and I sit down and I just kind of like tinker with it and I'm like, this sounds kind of cool. This seems fun. And this was another one of those moments. When my dad was in the hospital, I'd asked him if he could like master any instrument, you know, what would it be? And he said the piano. Billy Joel played the piano, Elton John played the piano. Piano's a cool instrument because you can learned from my professeur that you know, piano, you can play both the harmony and the melody. It contains multitudes. It contains the vocal range of people. It contains the notes in an orchestra. It's this beautiful instrument that comprises most notes. Most possibilities can be found with this keyboard here. And I thought when he told me that's what he would want to play, I had this spark of like, yeah, same. Like, that would be cool to be able to play anything. So many things on one instrument. Piano, you can access horror, you can access bliss and joy and nostalgia and longing and remembering and dreaming, and all of these things is right here within my wingspan. Same with us people. Dreams, horror, fantasy, sadness, depression, dread, all of these things are within our keys, within our reach, within our grasp. But we let people cover our keys, take them out, block them, narrow our focus. Even now, I'm only comfortable in a certain range, and that's where I do most of my tinkering. But there are so many other ranges, so many other combinations, choreographies, sentences to be put together. So I was in that airport and I sat down at that piano. I had my luggage. I was tired. I had been crying and I literally went from the doctor's office to the bus station, and that was the last time I spoke to my father. And I didn't know it yet then, but that was it. And I sat at this piano and I just played these.
probably much slower than that, but...
And that's how I was feeling at the time. And what a release it was to do that in front of people. And who knows if people were stopping, listening, or watching. I was just there with it. And it was so... It was unique because, well, kind of a new situation for me emotionally that I was in. But also choosing to feel that openly through the medium of a piano. It felt really good. And I kind of did it for him. If he was brave enough to go through that battle on his own, you know, why was I too afraid to play the piano in public when probably nobody was watching me? So I did it. And now it's part of the way I'm expressing myself. And it's not illogical. It's just fuller. It's more full. I don't think my dad knew how to love. And I think if he did, lots of things would be different. Lots of things. And part of me is trying to make up for that lost time, that lost potential, that suppressed feeling. Because I don't think his father knew how to love. But he didn't give any of that negativity to me. He kept it to himself. So what I might have perceived it as a lack of loving, perhaps it was just holding back a tidal wave of immature emotions that didn't see any beaches that they could crash onto safely without hurting the people that were there. And I wonder if love is passed down generations in the way that it is experienced and felt and implemented into the world. What will I give to my children? What will I want to hold back from them? What do I have to teach them? And then what will they teach me? What will the world of love look like when they are of the capacity to engage with it and be critical and artful about it? It's such an exciting thought, you know? And I wish that I could have found my own answer sooner, maybe shared it with my dad. Maybe he wouldn't have been so afraid, felt so alone or uncertain when facing his death. I wish I could. could have shown him a love that I had. And maybe I did in some ways, but... this urge to be a son and to show your father that, you know, you've done it. You've found someone, you've found something. Well, he'll just have to trust that I'll figure it out on my own. And my heart aches for the people who haven't been able to figure it out. And not that I have, but baby steps. I know what it feels like to be able to look at someone and tell them what they mean to you, and to see them feel that feeling of being rooted in the world now. Rooted in not just what you have and what you've built and what you stand on and what you wear, but what you are. In your eyes and behind them and inside, and I don't know if everyone has a person, but I hope you find them. Are so much more than these things that the world tries to tell us we are, and that is something that you just have to remember. And sometimes you need someone else to get you there. And I wanted to be that for my dad. And maybe there wasn't enough time. I don't know what I would have done with more time. And maybe he wouldn't be able to accept it, but I would have wanted to try, just maybe a little harder. You know, let him know that he was loved and that that his love reverberates. That it will continue to reverberate until I'm dead. Man, I wish he could see it. I wish he could see what he put into the world. 'Cause damned if I am not gonna be a force in it. Damned if I not... can't even... Oh, I've given over to the heart. I can't think anymore. Damned if I'm not already a force in it. Extension, you are a force in it. And that is not something that can be taken away, only given. We can give it up willingly. Sometimes being a force demands more from others than it does for you, than it does for me. But we are still called to do just that. To be the forces that we are, the gravity, the heat, the radiance, the brightness, the love, the kindness, the wonder, the imagination, the dreams, the creativity, all of it. All of it. And if I can't do it for myself, well, maybe I can find someone or something else to do it for. Thank you.